Waukegan, Illinois was once declared the site of some of the worst industrial pollution in the country. But our guest this hour didn't know that when she was growing up there, frolicking in Lake Michigan, eating the coho salmon that her father caught in the lake, eating produce grown on land near what would later be declared a Superfund site. Did the pollution in her hometown contribute to the ovarian cancer that claimed her sister's life and her own bout with pancreatic cancer? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 8 on this Thursday, August the 21st. Nancy Nichols promised her sister Sue that she would investigate whether the pollution in Waukegan was connected to Sue's ovarian cancer and Sue's eventual death. And while she's investigating the question, Nancy herself was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Well, Nancy fulfilled her promise to Sue, and the result is the new book, Lake Effect: Two Sisters and a Town's Toxic Legacy. Nancy Nichols is a journalist. She is a former reporter for the McNeil Lair NewsHour, a senior editor of the Harvard Business Review, and again, the author of the book, Lake Effect. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, I cried when I read your book many times, but especially when you wrote about your sister on her deathbed meeting your infant son for the first and last time, a baby that you struggled mightily to conceive, by the way. Tell us what that moment meant to you.
It was emotional. It was important, though. My sister was a fierce fighter, and she handed my son to me, and she said, "He is the future." And in part, that message was about my personal life, but it was, I think, a more universal message, too, which is that we need to go out and do what we can to protect our children. And in specifically, my sister was very concerned about pollution in the Great Lakes. So it was a message to me that I needed to get to work.
Yeah. And tell us why she wanted you to write this story.
My sister was just a fierce supporter of mine. She was an older sister. Our mother died when I was quite young, and she took care of me, and she wanted me to investigate the causes of her cancer. We lived in a highly polluted town, as you told your listeners. And in her mind, that pollution was somehow linked to her illness. And at the time of her death, I don't think that we fully understood the possible links between the chemicals in the town and her illness. It was only after her death that I started to investigate that.
Yeah. And then, as you're investigating this, you come down with your own cancer.
Correct. I was diagnosed 5 years ago in 2003 with a rare form of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. And you're a survivor of that cancer. It was removed surgically?
It was removed surgically. I am surviving today. I'm very hopeful. I did 11 weeks of chemotherapy, so I believe that I'm cured.
Yeah. And when I mentioned you struggled to conceive your son, you think, too, some of the fertility problems you had were linked to the pollution of Waukegan.
I think that's very likely. It was very, very difficult for me to get pregnant with my son, and there was no... Pregnancy and fertility is a complicated issue, but certainly there's been a number of studies that link the consumption of Great Lakes fish to reduce fertility. And I certainly had a very difficult time, but I was able to have one child, but I was never able to have a second.
Yeah, and you indeed made the decision to have your ovaries removed because of the potential of you developing ovarian cancer.
Correct. From the time of my sister's diagnosis, I was catapulted into the medical system as well. There were people who believed straight away that once my sister had that disease, I should have my ovaries removed. I chose not to do that immediately. I wanted to have a child. I did have a child. My own diagnosis came with pancreatic cancer, and after that, I really simply couldn't live with the risk anymore. So it was both a medical decision, but it was an emotional decision not to undergo any more screenings and really be done with it.
Yeah. Well, what made you and your sister, for that matter, suspicious of the pollution in and around Waukegan, Illinois, as a possible cause of the cancer, rather than a genetic link?
I think that's a great question. There were about 1 million pounds of contaminated sediment in Waukegan Harbor of PCBs. If any of your listeners live near the border of Illinois and Wisconsin, they may be familiar with it. It was the largest point source of PCBs in the Great Lakes for a good deal of time. PCBs were ultimately banned as a cancer-causing agent. So I think it was the massive amount of pollution and the fact that they were one of the few chemicals that have actually been banned because they do cause cancer that really started us to think about it. The other piece of it was just the proximity to the places where we lived. It was about a half mile from our home. There was a landfill right behind the nursing home where my grandmother lived. I had a brother who had an apartment adjacent to that landfill. We ate the fish as so many people do in Wisconsin. And we certainly ate it throughout our childhood when we were younger, when the parts per million of the fish would have been much, much higher than they are now. So it was all those things that came together that made us think that it was the pollution.
Mm-hmm. And indeed, the CDC or other research has shown that PCBs are probable carcinogens?
Correct.
Yeah, what is a PCB anyway?
A PCB is a class of chemicals. It's a polychlorinated biphenyl. And all that really means is it's describing the actual structure of the molecule, and that's how it's differentiated.
Yeah, and go ahead.
It was used in oil. It's a lubricant, and it was used in the die casting machines on the factories on the lake.
Yeah, we have had a number of PCB stories here in Wisconsin as well. I remember when I was living in Green Bay, the Bay of Green Bay was full of these, I think, too, and they actually piled them up made almost like a man-made island full of PCBs.
Yes, yeah. And there are huge dioxin issues up there too. So it's Waukegan was well known because the amount of the pollution was so large, but it is not unique, especially in the Great Lakes area.
Yeah, the dioxin is what was used to bleach paper, isn't that right?
That was a byproduct of the paper industry, correct.
Yeah, and that's different than PCBs, but again, a likely carcinogen?
It's different than PCBs. It's chemically related. It's a very, very dangerous chemical. It's known as, dioxins are known as one of the most dangerous chemicals to humankind. They're not a natural, they do not exist in nature. They're totally man-made, and usually as a byproduct. Yeah. Of another chemical process or manufacturing process.
But now, haven't Green Bay, other Great Lakes communities, Waukegan, cleaned up this mess? Is this our past and not our future now?
It's both. There was certainly a cleanup in Waukegan that brought the levels of PCBs in the harbor way down. So in my youth, the levels in the Waukegan Harbor were about 500,000 parts per million. So one of every two pieces of sand in the harbor was not actually sand, but it was a PCB. Now that level is much lower. They did a cleanup and they brought it to 50 parts per million in the early 90s. But it's still not clean enough in the sense that they would like those levels to be down way down to like 2 parts per million.
Yeah.
So it has been cleaned up, but it is not clean enough.
And indeed, you are concerned or were concerned anyway that you may have been, through breast milk and carrying your child, passing along some of this contamination.
Well, the chemicals in Waukegan are known to accumulate in the body, and they are able to pass through the placenta to the unborn child, and they do accumulate in breast milk. So, yes, my exposure could have been my child.
Yeah. We're talking with Nancy Nichols. She's a journalist, an editor, a broadcaster. She is the author of the book Lake Effect, Two Sisters and a Town's Toxic Legacy. We welcome your questions for her. We do have listeners in Waukegan, and all over the Lake Michigan shoreline, for that matter. Is her story a concern of yours as well? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll talk about what needs to be done now after we return. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up tomorrow at this time, it's our regular Friday Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different perspectives to talk with you about all of the news of the week, the political news of the week, tomorrow between 8 and 9 for the Week in Review. Coming up later today, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins. He'll be talking with his guest after 5 o'clock about a national move, an initiative to try to lower the drinking age in this country from 21 to 18. That's coming up after 5 this afternoon. Right now, we're talking with the author of the new book, Lake Effect, Two Sisters and a Town's Toxic Legacy. Nancy Nichols is our guest. She wrote this book to fulfill a promise that she made to her sister. Her sister was diagnosed with ovarian cancer at a very young age, died of ovarian cancer at a very young age. Her sister wanted her to investigate whether the pollution in their hometown of Waukegan, Illinois, was in any way connected to her illness. And I'm wondering, Nancy Nichols, did you come away after researching this convinced that the pollution in Waukegan is the main cause of you and your sister's cancers?
I came away convinced that the chemicals in the town may have played a role in our cancers. I do a lot of work in the book talking about the role of genetics and the environment and how they work together. So there's a phrase that genetics loads the gun, the environment pulls the trigger. And we do have a small family history of ovarian cancer in our family. So I thought, what I did in the book and what I worked on in the book is that interplay between genetics and the environment and how one might allow the other to ignite.
Yeah. And what is the medical community, the scientific community saying about this today?
I think that my personal doctors were saying it doesn't much matter whether it was genetics, whether it was the environment. Their goal was to save me, and happily they did. I think what the scientific community is saying is, look, there is enough evidence to believe that many of these agents are harmful. We know that they bioaccumulate. We know that everybody in this country carries a chemical body burden and a burden of heavy metals, and that's something for us really to be aware of.
Yeah. You also wrote about the need for better record keeping or data keeping, and because you had a hard time figuring out if, for example, people in Waukegan had a higher incident of cancers.
Yes. I mean, there is no sort of twin sets of databases, so that there's a database of what toxics are released, and then there are databases of cancer registries. There's no way to really connect the two. And that's really an issue. And it's particularly an issue in places like Waukegan, where when the factories closed, the population turned over dramatically. So that the people I went to high school with or the families that I knew growing up are just not there anymore. So finding those people and coming up with a real sound study would be very difficult.
Yeah. Well, what did you conclude, besides better record keeping, really should be done? So I guess your son doesn't have to go through the same thing you went through.
I think what was really interesting, Joy, about the work that I did is that the science that I found was not all that difficult. It's not all that controversial. There are pretty clear findings about which chemicals are dangerous and why. Actually, the legislation is on the books, the Superfund legislation, the federal legislation that would allow places like Waukegan to be cleaned up in a greater extent exists. The issue is our collective political will to get these things done.
Yeah, you talk about the Superfund site scandal that occurred too. What was that all about?
in my hometown, there was the polluter was the Outboard Marine Corporation, and there were two federal officials, very high up in the EPA. One ran the Superfund, and one was the head of the EPA in general. And there was tried to be a backdoor deal cut with the polluters to go in and fix things. And there was a scandal, and both of those women lost their jobs, and one eventually went to prison.
Yeah, that was the Outboard Motor Company was one that was started in Milwaukee, right?
I believe it was Ole Evinrude who started mm-hmm. that. It may have been Milwaukee.
Yeah. We're talking with Nancy Nichols. She is author of Lake Effect, Two Sisters and a Town's Toxic Legacy. We're talking about pollution, industrial pollution, and its link to cancer. Nancy Nichols, a pancreatic cancer survivor. Her sister lost her life to ovarian cancer. And talking about whether her growing up along Lake Michigan in Waukegan, Illinois, amidst all this toxic pollution, was related to their illnesses. We welcome your questions. We wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our lines are open except for Ray in Milwaukee. He joins us. Hi, Ray. You're on the air.
Good morning to you and your guests. First, mm-hmm. I want to say I'm sorry about your loss, Nancy, your sister. And this is a legacy of the Great Lakes, actually, if you look into the heavy metal load that most people living around the Great Lakes, we carry 10 times as much, I guess, as far as heavy metals in our bodies. But the question I had for you is, We Energies runs ads, even on this station, to how green they are, yet they forced a coal-fired power plant down the throats of the people in Oak Creek. And we know it's going to be spewing out mercury, and that will be affecting all the people around this lake here, especially over across the lake in the state of Michigan, where I don't know if our guest knows it, but there's a line in the sand in Michigan that's a black line in the sand. And when I was visiting there, I asked the locals, what is this black line in the sand here? Is this some different kind of sand you have here? And they said, no, that's from your power plants over there in Wisconsin and in Illinois blowing across the lake, and it winds up in our sand, and you can actually see it if you go and visit Michigan. But I would like to know if she has any information about the plant in Oak Creek. Are they going to be putting in special scrubbers, or as we have heard all along, they're not going to do anything different, and then they forced it on that community, and is she for that plant opening?
No, I know, Nancy, that you don't know about the Oak Creek plant. Do you know about that plant? I was going to just ask you to comment in general on air pollution and mercury and coal-fired plants, if you could.
Ray, thank you for the question. I think there's actually a coal-fired power plant in Waukegan mm-hmm. as well. I don't know about this plant in general. It certainly would be my hope that plants that were being built now would have different standards than the one in my town, which was built many, many years ago. Ray is right. Mercury is an issue. Not necessarily, I don't think of it as air pollution, but he may know better than I do. I certainly think of it in terms of the mercury getting into the fish. Mm-hmm. And that's how it bioaccumulates and gets into people around the Great Lakes, and it's a tremendous issue.
I think of it sometimes as the mercury in the air falls to the lake as like an acid rain or gets into the fish that way. Am I mistaken?
I believe mm-hmm. the way it happens is that it gets into the algae, and there's a reaction in the algae, and then the fish eat it. And when the fish eat the biota in the lake, it gets into their tissue, and then it gets into the fish. And that's the primary way that we have a mercury issue.
Yeah. And just the other day, there were stories in our local Madison media, not about Great Lakes fish, but just even river fish and lake fish here in Madison, wanting signs to be put up because so many people, especially non-English-speaking people, going to fish and eat these fish. That's, you ate a lot of coho salmon and were probably contaminated quite a bit by that.
Well, I think that the issue, I did eat a tremendous amount of coho salmon. When I was young, the PCB levels in fish like that were about 77 parts per million. That's hundreds of times over what the levels are today. And I think the issue that you're bringing up about minorities eating the fish has been with us forever. And it's incredibly important, especially if you think about a lot of the chemicals. We're talking about cancer today. But these chemicals have been known to have learning, to affect learning and create learning disabilities. Mm-hmm. So there's a real issue of environmental justice. So you take people who are the least able to cope with those things, and then they're eating the most polluted foods. You get an issue that's going to be with us for a long time.
Yeah. Karen in Baraboo is with us now. Hi, Karen.
Environmental justice.
Karen, I need you to turn down your radio, and then I'll put you back on the air, but you have to listen through the telephone in order to hear me. Alice in Waukesha, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a story that I feel is somewhat confirming your theory on the environmental effect of becoming sick, whether it's cancer or other type of illnesses, maybe multiple sclerosis is one of them. But in my experience, I grew up in a city where there's an inordinate amount of radon in the water. And for a brief period of time, I think it was around 5 years, there were maybe five or six gentlemen that all died of the same type of cancer on my street. And another group of men that were a little bit closer to the industrial park in the city, who all passed away within maybe 6 or 7 years of each other at quite young age of maybe 50 to 65 years old, including my father. And so my family and I have always discussed the possible effects of the water where we live being a contributing factor to those illnesses. And then the other comment I have, too, is I don't know if this is true, but I have heard that there's a higher percentage of people that get multiple sclerosis that live closer to the Great Lakes area. That has not been confirmed, but I thought that that might be something to discuss as well. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alice. Sorry for your loss. Nancy Nichols?
Alice, I am sorry for your loss. And hey, I have to say that whenever I go and I talk about my book, I hear stories like this. And there's a chapter in my book that I write, and it's called Why Ask Why. And it's about why I decided to spend a whole lot of time asking why I got my cancer instead of just celebrating myself as a survivor or celebrating the fact that I was able to survive. So I think doing what Alice is doing, which is really questioning what happened in her town, is very, very important. As for MS, I am not so familiar with that, but I do believe that there has been some research out of Canada that does show a kind of mercury poisoning, which exhibits itself to be somewhat like MS. So I do think that there's a strain of truth to that, although I don't have the research at my fingertips.
Yeah. In fact, didn't you write that your doctors didn't want you looking into this? They wanted you to be focusing on your own recovery and not researching and investigating this issue for this book.
There's a broad cultural pressure, especially now, to celebrate survivors, to celebrate survivorship. And, the yellow armbands that people wear, the bravado that people display, the fact that they have survived their cancers. And all of that is really, actually, in some ways, very positive for the people who have survived. But it begs the question, many people with cancer don't survive. And my sister didn't survive, and Alice's father didn't survive. And I think that in order to really honor them, we need to go beyond just being happy that we made it, and we need to ask, really, what's going on, and what are the factors in our environment that might be affecting our illnesses?
Yeah. Do you think the medical field is hesitant to look into causes and just wants to treat?
I think any individual doctor has no choice but to treat. I think that the survivor movement, in some way, it makes us celebrities in a sense. Very few people have survived the disease that I have. But on the other hand, it makes us invisible in a way, too, because if the story is, look, Lance Armstrong survived testicular cancer, and then he won the Tour de France, that's different than saying, look at Nancy, who survived this very rare cancer, and doesn't she look great? I want people to look at me and say, look, let's look at that woman with gray hair and think about her disease and the causes of it. So it's just a slightly different message.
Yeah, pancreatic cancer, almost everybody I've heard of that has had that has died from it.
That's correct. Yeah. About 96% of people die who have pancreatic cancer. I had a rare form, so I'm hopeful that I'm going to survive it.
Yeah. Well, we are too. Lance Armstrong was inspirational to you, though. You did write about watching him biking while you were, I think, trying to recover from a chemotherapy session.
Yes, mm-hmm. He was amazing, and I think he is amazing. But I think sometimes that image of the survivor as being able to do anything and sort of as good as new, it hides the other side of this, which is a lot of people do not recover at all. And it makes sense for us to really think not just about how do we save people, not about the cure, not simply about the cure, but also about the cause.
Yeah. Janice in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I'm on the Mississippi River over on the other side, but, you know, what I really am concerned about, I guess, is the pesticides, the runoff, you know, this, I don't know, I want to say Monsanto, but I have it, you know, this Roundup that they just completely, we don't have butterflies, we don't have bees, you know, we don't have hardly birds over here anymore. I mean, it's really sad, you know, how what am I going to call this? I can't think of the word. Anyway, you know, just spraying it without any concern to know that, you know, I mean, I just heard the president of Monsanto speaking about, you know, genetically modified food. I mean, what are they doing to it? It's not a concern. He's, you know, it's like, no, you know, but we've got cancer. We're dying from these things. And, you know, this stuff's going into our water. You know, we're having deformed fish and frogs and insects are disappearing, but we continue to spray. People die of cancer, and we ingest this, quote, food, this corn, this modified food that they're feeding it. I'm telling you, it's really sad.
Yeah. Well, Janice, thank you. I think Janice is talking about spraying pesticides. First off, Nancy Nichols, should people living along the Mississippi have similar concerns of those who are living along or grew up along the Great Lakes?
Well, Janice, thanks for the question. I'm not as familiar about the area along the Mississippi as I am about the Great Lakes. I think that to answer Janice's question, the best way to frame it is to say all of us carry measurable levels of chemicals, pesticides, toxins, heavy metals in our blood. So that Janice's concern, and I hear the concern in her voice, is a fair one. I think we don't always know what levels are safe, what levels are not safe, but Janice's point is exactly right. If we were to take a more precautionary approach in the things that we allow into our environment, we wouldn't get to the point where we had to wonder, what are these things doing to us, as Janice is doing.
Yeah, but Janice is right that those stories we hear about deformed fish and frogs and that sort of thing, that is directly linked, especially when it comes to the Great Lakes and PCBs, right?
There's a class of chemicals called an endocrine-disrupting chemical that alters the sexual function of frogs, and that's what Janice is thinking about, and she's thinking about deformed frogs or other things that live in the water that might get a much higher concentration of these chemicals than we would. And I talk about it in my book, endocrine-disrupting chemicals. They're called gender benders. Mm-hmm. So they actually change the sexual characteristics of, say, a frog. I believe that's what she's talking about, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Janice, for the call. We have room for your call, too, if you want to talk about pollution and cancer and the link between the two. and talk with Nancy Nichols, who is the author of the book Lake Effect. Nancy Nichols, one of two sisters who grew up in Waukegan, Illinois. Her sister, Sue, died of ovarian cancer in her 40s. Nancy is the survivor of pancreatic cancer. She wrote this book to fulfill a promise to her sister. Her sister, on her deathbed, asked her to investigate whether there is a link between all of the chemicals and industrial pollution in their hometown of Waukegan, Illinois, and her illness. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 9 o'clock, the EPA announced Tuesday that six Wisconsin counties failed to meet air quality standards. After 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guests will talk about why. Well, speaking of pollution, Nancy Nichols, air pollution and not meeting EPA standards. So pollution is still a problem today, even though some of the PCBs might have been cleaned up in your hometown of Waukegan, Illinois, huh?
Yes. I mean, just recently the CDC released a report about the health effects along the 43 areas of concern around the Great Lakes. And they found elevated levels of certain cancers like breast and colon. So the pollution continues to affect the health of the people around the Great Lakes.
Yeah. Well, what do you hope readers will take away from your book?
I hope that readers will take away from my book a sense that it isn't futile to question the causes of your cancer, that it is really, it's legitimate to think about these things. You know, long before there were the kinds of studies that we talk about on the radio now, the scientific studies and the statistics, there were stories, and these stories warn people about the links between their environment and their health. So the phrases that we know really well, like mad as a hatter, came from the poisoning of hat workers who were poisoned by mercury. So that there's a long history in this country and other countries of telling stories that warn about the dangers of elements in our environment, and I wanted to add my story to others.
Yeah, has this caused you to change your lifestyle in any way, like only organic produce, for example?
Well, Joy, I'm really glad you asked mm-hmm. that. I certainly, and I'm blessed, Joy, that I am able to afford organic produce. Mm-hmm. So I do that, and I have water filters. But I'll tell you this, that everybody needs to do everything they can to protect their health. But it isn't going to be enough. It's only in our collective political will that we will change this. This is going to require regulatory action from our government. There's simply no way around that. Of that, I am certain. But that is not to say, Joy, that we shouldn't go out and do everything we can to protect our health on a personal level. But as Americans, we take individual action way too far. This really is a regulatory action that needs to happen.
Back to the phones, Tammy in Sparta. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Nancy. First of all, my heartfelt condolences. I just lost my sister to ovarian cancer June 29th.
I'm sorry.
So I just want to commend you for getting out there. Especially ovarian cancer, it's a silent killer. Not enough people know about it, so I want to commend you on that. Also, have you determined any link between autism, ADD, and ADHD to pollutants? Because that's always been a concern of mine. My son was had what they thought was ADD. I knew he didn't have it because he could sit down and write a book. I'm trying to shorten this. I'm sorry. But basically, he had sensitivity to artificial colors, flavors, additives, and preservatives. And I'm just wondering if there's a link between that and the pollutants, and if you've done any research on that. And then I just want to know if there's anything we can do. I mean, you said regulatory agencies, you know, give me a link, give me a letter or an address, and I'll do whatever I can.
Okay. Tammy, I'm very sorry. I definitely know where you are today. Mm-hmm. I've been there myself. In terms of your son and links with attention deficit or other learning disorders, there are scientists from Harvard have called this the next epidemic. They believe they have found links between learning disorders like ADD and ADHD. So you're certainly spot on in thinking about it. I certainly can't, without knowing the specifics, cite you studies, but I would encourage you to look at my book, and that's outlined in my book. In terms of regulatory action, what do we do today? GreatLakesAlliance.org, I would certainly start there, especially if you're in that area. They've done some amazing work in helping people to understand these issues.
You wrote, too, that your sister's death from ovarian cancer, in a way, saved your life.
Yes. If my sister had not died, I certainly would not have known to look for my own cancer. In that way, you know, my book is a promise fulfilled to her. Its reward was realized in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things that usually ovarian cancer isn't caught until it's too late, and that's why there is such a high death rate from that. Ron in Ladysmith, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Listen, I'm very sorry for your loss. I read an article one time on the Internet some years back about in 1953 how the government, after they used up their spent uranium, dumped it in Lake Superior, hundreds of barrels of highly enriched uranium that, you know, very bad. And I talked to congressmen, and I talked to, district people, senators, EPA. Nobody cares to do anything about it. One person said, just leave it lay. It's too hard to move.
Yeah, so, Ron, those barrels are still there, you say?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
No, and nobody seems to want to do nothing about it. And that's in tune with what you're talking about, all these pollutants and stuff.
Yeah, I bet, Nancy, you don't know about uranium in Lake Superior in barrels, but wasn't there an argument over whether dredging of these PCBs and all that gunk at the bottom of the lake was really worthwhile, that maybe it should just stay there rather than be stirred up?
That's certainly been an issue in the Waukegan Harbor. Recently, in fact, the industry that still exists along Waukegan would like the harbor to be dredged, but the city believes that the harbor, that the PCBs should lay, that are still there, should lay undisturbed, and that the dredging should not continue.
Yeah. Doesn't sound good to have uranium in barrels in the bottom of Lake Superior, does it?
I honestly don't know how to respond to Ron on that one. Yeah. I would say that the local Region 5 of the EPA might be the people to contact, but I'm not at all familiar with that.
Yeah. Shiloh in Menominee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering what the guests thought about the responsibility aspect of this. There's, you know, obviously, and thankfully so, this huge movement about getting people to quit smoking and not smoking. But where's the responsibility on the part of the government and the corporations who pollute and who don't clean up the pollution? You know, I'm of the mind that, you know, it's easier to blame the other person. It's easier to say, you know, if you quit smoking, you're not going to get cancer. Well, I might quit smoking and I might not get cancer, but what about, you know, this pollution in my backyard? You know, where's your responsibility for this? Where's the movement to get corporations and the government involved in taking, you know, some accountability for this?
Mm-hmm. Nancy?
Shiloh, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think that all of us have to take that individual step that we can take. You know, if we're smokers, we have to get help stopping. If we can afford organic produce, we should do it. But in the end, it's not going to be enough. It's only when the government regulates these chemicals. So, for example, in the European Union now, they have very strict regulations of toxic chemicals before they go into products. So they're not dealing with the aftermath of some of the use of these toxins the way we are. So America was once an environmental leader. We need to go back and become environmental leaders again.
Thank you, Shiloh, for the call. Our guest is Nancy Nichols. She is the author of the book Lake Effect, Two Sisters and a Town's Toxic Legacy. Nancy Nichols grew up in Waukegan, Illinois. Elmer in Antioch is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I live in Antioch, and I told your host, I chartered fished in Waukegan from around 72 to 95 and ate a lot of salmon, as did my wife and my three kids who were born during that time. They're from ages 28 to 23. And I did a study, and I forgot who did it. It went on for about 10 years, and my blood showed doubled control group level of PCB in it, you know. So I don't know if I'll have any effects. I'm 65 now.
So your blood contained double the amount it should have of PCBs.
Yeah, double the amount of the control group, and they followed up the study for about a 10-year deal.
Well, are you worried about that, Elmer?
Not at all.
You're not? How come?
Well, I'm not prone to worry, and I'm 65 and very healthy, but I don't have much cancer in the family, so, you know, I think that's also, you know, part of cancer.
Yeah, what about your wife and children? Did you say they participated in this study too?
No, but they ate the fish along with me because, you know, as a charter fisherman, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, so you eat a lot of fish because it's available.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Elmer, about, the connection between PCB pollution and cancer, possibly the cancer of my guest?
Well, I've looked at it a little bit. I have no idea about, you know, what caused hers or if it was the pollutants, but I haven't yet found a study that said, yes, there's a link between PCB and cancer, but, they do caution, for a long time, don't eat the fish, especially the lake trout and brown trout, but especially the lake trout because they live longer and they're more fatty. And
right.
Well, and that's where the PCBs are found.
Well, thank you very much, Elmer, for calling. Nancy Nichols, a reaction to Elmer's story?
Well, I'm very happy to hear that Elmer is healthy and showing no effects. I think that the couple of the fisheries departments in the lakes have been studying charter fishermen over the years. The fact that he has doubled the control group levels makes it clear that his contamination is coming from the fish. The fact that he has not to date exhibited any disease, we can only be grateful for. And in my book, I talk a lot about who might be genetically susceptible to contaminants and who might not be. One of the theories is that some of us clear those contaminants from our blood much more quickly than others, hopefully, and it sounds like it could be the case that Elmer has a kind of immunity to it. So we can only be grateful for his health and for his family's health.
Yeah, that there is a genetic link to the cancer, but there's also the contaminants in the environment are also involved.
Right. It's called the G times E equation, you know, the genetics versus your environmental factors.
Karen in Lafayette County writes in this email, I once read that companies like Monsanto developed several of the chemicals they use on their farms from chemical warfare items. They use these chemicals as farm fertilizers. If you think about chemical warfare and using the same chemicals for food products, that's very scary. These chemicals are changing farming as we know it. My question is the health risk worth it?
That's from Karen?
Yeah.
Okay, Karen is on to something here. That is, in the end of World War II, when a lot of the munitions factories had to close down, many of those factories and the knowledge and technology we had from them were transferred over to the agricultural industry, so that she's right, that a lot of the roots of modern agricultural came from modern warfare. She's just right.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen, for the... She went on to say that I live in southwest Wisconsin, and the cancer rate is extremely high here. I wonder if it's because of the fertilizers and chemicals used on farms. Well, I guess we'll just have to wonder, because I don't think you looked into that either.
Well, can I mention a book that did that your readers might be interested in? It's called Living Downstream, and it's by a biologist named Sandra Steingraber, and it's a wonderful look at agricultural runoff and its importance to certain illnesses. She's a cancer survivor as well.
Bonnie in Hartford is with us now. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, good morning. I am an oncology nurse, and I've been an oncology nurse for about 30 years. So, first of all, I would say that I understand what your guest and her sister have endured very well. But there are a couple things that I wanted to say, one of which is, by and large, I think the public needs to be aware that cancer is mostly a disease of aging. And so about 60% of all cancers occur in people who are over 65 years of age. The other thing that is perhaps tied to that, as well as younger folks, is that if smoking were banned from the United States altogether, the death rate from cancer would decrease by about 30% annually. And smoking not only affects the lungs, but there's ties to bladder cancer, cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. There's some question about ties to pancreatic cancer, although that's not definite. But it's a huge issue, and it's in addition to whatever pollutants we're not really certain about in terms of the other chemicals.
Bonnie, I'm glad you called, but I'm afraid we have less than a minute in the program. Nancy Nichols, for your brief response to Bonnie's comments.
Well, bless you, Bonnie, for the work that you do. She's absolutely right. There are many causes of cancer, and pollutants are just one of them.
Yeah, but you and your sister had your cancer in your 40s, not after 65, and neither of you were smokers.
Correct.
Right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Nancy Nichols is the author of Lake Effect, Two Sisters and a Town's Toxic Legacy. She grew up in Waukegan, Illinois, once declared the site of some of the worst industrial pollution in the country. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this hour. Thanks to Michelle Kofel, Brittany DeAnda, and Cynthia Schuster for production as well this morning. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, it's the Friday Week in Review. We'll have two guests, different perspectives, to talk with you about the news of the week tomorrow between 8 and 9. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.